If I say there is hope for complete recovery for people with a concussion, you say
100%.
And in fact, you didn't only feel it, you were outside the regular medical system because they were not interested in you.
Neuroplasticity actually opens you up to the world, makes it possible to develop, make it possible to rehabilitate.
Traumatic brain injury has been caused a silent epidemic for that reason, because it consists of changes and disabilities that are not obvious to other people.
If, as a physician, you felt you had nothing to offer a patient, then I think ethically you need to say, I don't think there's anything I can offer you. Maybe you should see Dr. M.
Historically, we have called these things mild traumatic brain injuries, which implies that, well, it may be a brain injury, but it's not going to have great consequence, right? And that's frankly not true.
Welcome to Concussion Stories, a Life Yana podcast series filled with hope. I'm here to let you know that you are not alone in your post-concussion recovery journey. My name is Melanie, and I spent 6.5 years learning, experimenting, and training in order to find a way to heal myself from post-concussion syndrome. After making a full recovery by the end of 2018, I embarked on this mission to make the recovery journey easier for you. This is why I started this podcast, wrote detailed blog posts and downloadable guides, offer coaching, and also the course that I wish I had back when I was recovering, teaching you everything that I needed to know in order to make my recovery happen. On Concussion Stories, we dig deep while discussing hopeful stories of recovery, as well as the hard stuff in the messy middle. Let's dive right in.
I'm so happy to announce the first expert of this season. His name is Oli Tinovuo, and he is a professor of neurotraumatology at the University of Turku in Finland. He is part of Center TBI, the large research group in Europe researching traumatic brain injury and advocating for better concussion care. Remember, traumatic brain injury is the medical word that doctors use for all sorts of injury, including concussion. But let me tell you how I got to know Professor Tinovuo. The first time I heard him speak, it was in a big room filled with doctors and researchers, and he defended all of us who experience lingering symptoms after a concussion, saying how doctors essentially ignore us and tell us to our faces that we are imagining symptoms. He's been wearing a superhero suit in my mind since that moment. I want to give you a heads up beforehand. In this episode, Professor Tinovuo says that there is no such thing as post-concussion syndrome because all patients have different symptoms, and therefore we cannot speak of one syndrome that everyone has. However, it may be triggering for you, as I know it would have been for me, to hear that what you believe you suffer from may not exist. Your symptoms do exist and still fall within the diagnosis that would now be called post-concussion syndrome. What Professor Tinovuo is referring to is the fact that a group of researchers and doctors worldwide together are looking for a better definition and treatment of post-concussion symptoms. The first change they aim to make is about the wording, helping doctors better understand what all of us experience, and from there, improve patient care. You are in the right place right now, and Professor Tinovuo and I are here to help you move forward. He's rooting for us and truly understands the frustrations and struggles most of us go through with regard to the medical system. Having said that, let's start with the first out of no less than 4 episodes with Professor Tinovuo.
Well, thank you again for recording this podcast episode with me, because after our meeting at the Center TBI, I really felt that you spoke up for post-concussion syndrome patients when you took the mic. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah, I do. I do remember.
I have it on video, so I want to ask you about that, but maybe I can start with
more general question first so that listeners can get to know you a bit. So outside of work, what are things that bring you joy?
Oh, that's easy. That's an easy question. So I have been an eager bird watcher since I was 15 in the early 70s. So I've been always, when I have free time, I go bird watching mainly at my summer house, which is by the Baltic Sea. I like to go with my boat to small islets on the sea where it's easy to find birds and see them nearby. And I also do bird photography, so that's that's my passion.
And do you then sometimes share your pictures with colleagues, or is it something like this is something you do outside of work and nobody ever sees them?
Well, my birdwatcher colleagues, yes. So we mainly share our photos at Facebook.
Okay, so you have special birdwatcher colleagues.
I think all bird watchers around the world are colleagues in some way.
Yeah, possibly also friends already, right? Because you share the same passion.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I understand. Okay. Going back to what I just stated. So at the conference, I really got the idea that you understand what post-concussion syndrome patients are going through. You spoke about their symptoms, but especially you spoke also about what they hear from doctors in the medical system when they get to them. Can you tell me more about it again? Because that's a different recording. It will be a different episode, but maybe you can share a bit here about what you've learned. And
Yeah, of course, the whole concept of post-concussion syndrome is a problem because actually there is not such a syndrome. Because with a syndrome, you mean a specific constellation of symptoms, which in a way build a syndrome. Although many patients share similar syndrome, they are always individual. So there is a great variety of different symptoms. But of course, you often heard the term post-concussion syndrome, but actually you should speak about post-concussion symptoms. The other problem is that using the word concussion is a problem because there is no accurate definition for a concussion. And that also means that if the patient has a diagnosis of concussion, then the doctors think that there should be no major sequels of this kind of injury. And if you have, then they must be from something else.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
From depression or post-traumatic stress or psychosomatic or litigation maybe or anything else. The other side of the problem is that accurately defining the true severity of the injury is very difficult, and that's one reason we try to get rid of these definitions of mild, moderate and severe traumatic brain injury. Because they are based on so obscure grounds and they have often a lot of confounders assessing the severity, and often these labels are very misleading, and actually those labels cause patients often more harm than benefit.
Yes, well spoken. And this is about the summary of my experience with the medical system.
you are not the only one.
No, I know. And I'm now laughing, but of course it isn't funny at all. It's clarifying again how you explain the trouble with these concepts, especially the concept that all of us in society, but also doctors, have in their minds about what something is or isn't, and what the results of that are. And the biggest problem I know from your work, the paper that you co-wrote about if we should revise mild and severe traumatic brain injury as categories. The biggest problem, of course, is that it suggests also that something mild isn't to be taken seriously, and it doesn't have long-term effects, while Standard TBI that you are involved in has already uncovered that over more than 50% of people have symptoms over 6 months after training a concussion. Now, I understand what you're saying about concussion and post-concussion syndrome actually not being helpful words to exist. We have these concepts of it, but of course we have to work with them as long as we haven't developed new words.
Yeah, we, in a way, base our classifications and base our treatments and the pathway of care on this kind of uncertain and often misleading labels. That's I hate that.
I agree with you. I'm curating this, but in a way, I feel, or not in a way, I actually feel that with traumatic brain injuries, and especially mild traumatic brain injuries, so concussion, we are at a stage where we remember learning about when us humans found out about bacteria, those little pieces that were existing and we didn't know about before. We couldn't see them. And then suddenly we knew this whole world opened up to us. I feel with the brain and with the small injuries that we can see on CTs, and we start to be able to see sometimes in blood or sometimes on very good MRI scans, that only now we are starting to uncover what is a concussion really, and maybe then it will need a new word indeed to reframe also what we're talking about. But it was something that we couldn't see before, and mostly these definitions, like having amnesia or having a brain bleed, for example, those are shaped, I think, by doctors who were working with things they could see, like brain bleed or amnesia or anything, something you can measure. But only now are we uncovering that it's way more subtle, but the effects can be major.
Yeah, in principle, that's an old wording, that if you... what you can see, that that doesn't exist. So that stems in many issues in our living. But you still very often can see the attitude that if also head MRI is normal, so there is nothing major problem with you, so everything should be okay. Although we know that a diffuse axonal injury is by far the most common mechanism of brain injury, and it's always at the microscopical level. So in principle, conventional MRI is unable to show it. Yeah. It's fully unable to show it. And on the other hand, we also of course see patients that have fairly large contusions, so large injured areas in the brain, and they have may have a full recovery.
Yeah,
that's another side of the coin, because actually you may have fairly large focal lesions in your brain and recover well if your brain network is spared.
So new tools are needed in order to assess symptoms and diagnose people with concussion or mild trauma. I now feel like I shouldn't say concussion because we because of your very good thesis, but we still need the word for people to understand.
I will forgive you.
But we need better tools, and but mostly I feel like whatever tool there will be and will be in like 3, 4, 5 years, I don't know how slow or fast it will go, but the first thing that we will need is awareness of the caretaker. So GPs or people on the ER, people who first encounter patients with a concussion, to know that if they complain about fogginess or ringing in their ears or a headache or blurry vision or anything, to take it seriously that this might be a brain injury, and that only describing the symptoms already is enough to start a new protocol that we so desperately need. Especially to start communicating with patients that this is a serious thing, and you need not only rest, but you need other things as well in order to recover.
Now I would love to hear from you. What do you take away from this episode? Is there something that you can apply to your life right away? Head on over to lifejana.com and leave your comment now. And if you want to hear and read more concussion stories, actionable steps and inspiration, be sure to subscribe to the Life Jana email list while you're there so that you never miss out on new materials we constantly make for you. If you want to support this podcast, head on over to patreon.com/concussionstories. Thank you for listening to this Concussion Stories episode by Life Jana. May you be well and may you be happy.